This is Count Dracula wishing you a very happy Halloween!
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
Ready to come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 2-1. Boo! It is our Halloween special. Here, as always, with the feverish Fanero and Dave, the spaceman Wright himself. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. I would be doing a lot better if we don't keep losing these rookies to injuries.
I thought, did I scare you when I said boo?
No, I thought that was perfect. Well done.
I know, a ton of injuries. We'll see if we're scared off by anybody. So what are we doing? We've got some candies, and that is kind of like, what was the birth of that? I think Fanero would explain it better, but Fanero shows up to Rookie Fever with like this really crazy Halloween outfit on one night. Like, he's Joe Cool with the trick-or-treat candies. I mean, what was that, like 3 or 4 seasons ago? I don't even know.
It wasn't that long. It was actually 2019, I think. And we had a trick-or-treat theme in mind where we were trying to decide as we went down the top 12 whether they were a trick or a treat, which I thought was a fun thing. And then I surprised you and assigned everyone in the top 12 a candy and described the candy and the player, and we had some fun with it. So we're doing kind of, I guess, a little bit of that in this episode because we have some stuff to cover.
Halloween specials are low-key one of my favorites, nice. Honestly. So I'm excited.
It's got me in the Halloween spirit.
Taking the mute button off.
I think
I'm
he said
I'm ready.
He's in the spirit.
What an intro. What an intro to Rookie Fever. That pumped me up. I am ready to go.
I am spooked. So we've got those candies. We were all going to put a couple rookies to some candies. We've got some players we're scared of. And a little of this and that here and there, as always, on the Rookie Fever. We thank you for being here. Bear with us. That is the Zach Wilson scream. 2 to 4 weeks, Zach Wilson already kind of having a meh season. How do you guys feel about this injury? And maybe how do you feel about Elijah Moore?
To be honest, that was one of my biggest concerns about Zach Wilson coming in was the injuries he's been. He had several seasons of injury with different injuries in college. I was told they were unrelated and they weren't really a fragility thing here, but you know, he's been playing with his head cut off with how much pressure he's been getting and how much he's had to create, it feels like. And this is what happens when you have to play that way all the time, and boom, out 2 to 4 weeks. Maybe Joe Flacco can save Elijah Moore, honestly, because I feel like last season Joe Flacco kind of gave some life to Denzel Mims. So maybe even a rookie rewind for a Denzel Mims rebirth.
Hey,
who knows?
Never know. I sent an offer. I tried to trade away in Superflex. I feel good at quarterback, mind you, but Zach Wilson to get Jalen Waddle, and I was quickly rejected.
Superflex. Huh. Wow.
Yep. I was kind of surprised. I was just like, "Yeah, he's my sixth quarterback, honestly, in this league. He's injured. I've got Tua. I'm still looking for that Tua and Waddle stack. Somebody wants to help put that in my Halloween sack. I'll dress up for you." So, but I think we're going to get into these candies first, right?
Yeah, let's get into these candies.
Oh, just when you thought you were going to get to hear our candies. That sound this week is Rookie Fever trivia.
Nice.
So instead, we've got some Rookie Fever trivia coming at you early in the show. A question that I don't think either of you will be able to answer for me. What is Elijah Moore's ownership percentage in Yahoo?
9%.
4%.
4%. It's a little higher than the, for both of you.
Oh, wow.
So higher than 9%. It is 16% in Yahoo, lower than that of DJ Shark, who's out for the season, who is 18%. This is me from Rookie Fever telling you to go out and get Elijah Moore in your redraft Yahoo leagues right now. Waivers have cleared. He's sitting there for you absolutely free. Dirt cheap. So yeah, 16%. Good job, guys.
On Tale of Two Rivals, actually, that's released tomorrow. I would say that I wouldn't go try to shop Damian Harris for Elijah Moore right now in Dynasty because he's had the big boom week against the Jets. I think that's a good – people are really feeling – I think there some people are losing that lust for Elijah Moore, even though he scored that rushing touchdown last week. So I think this is a – at least if it's not – like you say, Swags, if it's not a buy low, it's at least an ease of buy situation. So maybe – that's kind of like what I'm trying to
make. I'll buy that dip if you can, man, in Dynasty or Redraft. I like it. I like it a lot. Who brought the dumb kid to trick or treat that thought he was going to get candy from Santa? Whose kid was that?
Those kids sound mean.
they did. They were like bullies in Home Alone or something, maybe.
Yeah, they really sound awful, actually.
So let's feverish. What kind of candy do you want to get off your chest, or what are you eating today? We'll let you go first.
I'm gonna start actually, and oddly enough, I did like I went. You know me, man. I do a little bit of research, and I looked at the 10 most popular candies. I looked at the best candies and the worst candies, and this is on one of those lists. I'll let you guys guess which of those three lists: most popular, best, or worst candy. But this candy is the Smartie. You guys remember Smarties?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Smarties, and the player I'm matching my candy with is Elijah Mitchell because he was a cheap fourth round rookie pick, right? This is a cheap candy. This is a very, very cheap candy. I got him in the 21st round of Scott Fish. Been enjoying that a little bit here and there. Packed with sugar. I think this dude is just packed with sugar. He ran a 4.4 on his pro day, which is a 97th percentile. But they also don't last long. I don't think Elijah Mitchell's going to last long. He's a this-year guy for me. And it's almost a perfect candy comparison with one exception, because inside a Smartie pack are several different flavors. Variety, if you will, right? And I don't feel like we get much variety from Elijah Mitchell. He either runs the ball or runs the ball. He's averaging 4.7 yards per carry, which is fantastic, but he also has only 4 targets on the entire season. Now, granted, he was hurt part of that, but still. Not much of a pass catcher in this offense anyway, which also puts him in danger for next year, not being that complete back. But that's my guy. That's my candy. Elijah Mitchell, Smarties.
Dave, I'm going to step over to the side with you here for a second. And what candy category did you think that was from?
10 that's most from- popular, the best, or the worst.
What do you're not, we're supposed to be like whispering behind your back.
Oh, yeah, whisper.
Well, I've also done a lot of research on for a couple different shows for the best, worst, and that was on a lot of worst candies for some reason. Oh, I thought
for sure that was going to be most popular.
It's on the worst. He's right. It is the fourth worst candy.
Wow.
Worst being, of course, the fucking candy corn.
People don't want – dude, candy corn is awful. Like, candy corn is going to be like our generation's like
– yeah.
Fruitcake wafers
and hot cross buns, like that thing that slowly goes away with like the old people of our generation, hopefully. Nico wafers are amazing, Dave.
Oh my God.
Nico wafers, fifth worst candy.
I'm not surprised. I'd take them way over Smarties, though.
Oh, no, I like a Smartie.
Yeah, I like the Smarties necklace. That's a good time.
Ooh, there you go. There you go. And then your like neck and shirt's all sticky, and I like it.
Yeah.
Wearing one. Let's all wear one to the expo next year.
Okay. Deal.
I don't. Oh, Dave. Do you have a candy for these people?
I do. I went right straight to the top, and my Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, my number one overall candy, is Ja'Marr Chase. Sometimes in Rookie Fever, we don't talk about the studs, and I wanted to lead off by saying Ja'Marr Chase, who is not seeing a huge volume, like a raw volume of only 7.3 targets per game. That's not like the elite type of volume here, but he's doing a ton with it. A 24% share in that offense is sexy. And he's, we mentioned it a little bit last week, incredibly involved in the route participation. And he is just uber, uber efficient, scoring, I think, what is it now? 6 receiving touchdowns through 7 games. And what does there say about, I think there's already talk that he is the wide receiver 1 in Dynasty. I think he's top 3 for a lot of people. Minimum top 5 wide receiver in Dynasty, I would think, for consensus. Jamar Chase has given us that chocolatey, peanut buttery deliciousness that has been exciting. I mean, it's sometimes that people forget. People don't forget to talk about Reese's Peanut Cups ever. So I won't say that, but man, I definitely am not, I do not want to leave drafts without some Jamar Chase and my Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Yeah, the only problem with that is that there's only one way to eat it.
I don't know. Those commercials are so many ways.
Yeah. Maybe for Jamar Chase to catch it. But yeah, and he's almost like unobtainable at this point. Some of the trades you see, and I kind of even look at him like, man, like, I get it. I do. I get it. But it's almost to that point where, like, you have to, like, I'd have to trade, like, Metcalf plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if, like, and I get the Metcalf part. And this is just hypothetical. But I don't know if, like, what that plus should actually be for me. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Heated debate was, and that people are split. Saquon and George Kittle for Jamar Chase. Heated debate. And people were split 50-50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm taking the Barkley side.
That's what I said. I think I'm leaning that way. But do you want to, like, it just hurts to trade away Chase, I think, at this point. You know, 5 games in, there's some risk with Barkley now, there feels like. Injuries keep on propping up. Mm-hmm. Kittle, still same thing. So there feels like you're taking a little risk there, but
Barkley's injuries worry me differently than somebody like McCaffrey, who keeps having the soft tissue issues.
I agree.
Like, yeah. Barkley's issues, like, seem more like injuries and flukes, like he gets his ankle rolled over on, is the most recent one. McCaffrey seems like, and I know people are going to hate this comp because you're going to try to talk about draft capital, but I don't really care at this point. But McCaffrey reminds me more of like Arian Foster, like after he was really sweet for us, even though he was free. And then he just kept getting those little injuries that he could never stay on the field healthy. And it was those soft tissue issues. And that's how I feel a little bit about McCaffrey right now. Like, I'm legitimately concerned. When he's on the field, he's going to get you points, but I don't know. This might be a lot of on and off the field for him. So, yeah, I just said Barkley over McCaffrey in Dynasty for me. I did. All right. More candy.
The kids want more.
This one, I've got to get this out of the way because I think you guys might have some candy on this one too. And if you want, we can share some candy. But this is Sour Patch Kids, a candy I like a lot.
And top candy, 5.
Oh, man, it should be too. Like, it is. All top of them, 5. Every color is amazing, unless you get watermelon. And don't buy that back. But the player I put to this was Kyle Pitts because he is sweet. He's all that and more that he should have been. And I'm sour because I don't have enough of him. I just kind of wasn't quite willing to take him over some of the quarterbacks in some of my super flex leagues when I had the opportunity. I have one share I'll be holding on to pretty tight. But Kyle Pitts is my Sour Patch Kid. And I want more and more and more of it. I want it until my tongue is raw.
I like it. I actually had an opportunity in the league to take him at 5. It was a non-tight end premium, and I went Devonta Smith instead. And you know how I like my Devonta Smith. So, you know, after the last couple weeks, and you know, we on Rookie Fever have been saying that this was coming. Kyle Pitts is actually on pace for 1,335 yards, just shy of your predicted possible 1,400. So I would say I would say 1335 certainly puts him in the 1400 mix. 1335 would make him the highest scoring, or most yards from a tight end in his rookie season ever. I think Ditka had 1,000 plus. So we're going pretty far back even to try to challenge that. Yeah, dude. I personally don't own Pitts anywhere and I'm pretty sour too.
Give me some more Kyle Pitts. Feverish. Oh.
I got to have the kids screaming for my candy. I went with the Snickers bar. It is a popular candy, but it also really satisfies if you listen to the commercial. Snickers really satisfies. You could go Chase here or Harris because it's both popular and very yummy. Both deserve the Snickers bar probably, but the Reese's Cup, I like that one better. I like that better. But those players have beyond satisfied people who drafted them. Those two players in particular, they beyond satisfied. This particular player really satisfies, and that's Waddle. I think really satisfies is the perfect word for Waddle. Wide receiver 21 on the season, 15th in targets among all NFL receivers with 57. What would make him a king size Snickers bar would be some more deep targets. I would love to see that Waddle, which is the Waddle I honestly thought we were only going to see. I really thought he was going to be a one-trick pony. I was completely wrong. They're trying to use him across the field, all over the field, in different ways. Good hands. He looks like a complete wide receiver to me. So he just needs a little help. And I think a year or two is certainly going to put him into that category if we're talking about him as a great return where you got him in first rounds rookie drafts.
Yeah, I love it. He needs more Tua. They need to keep Tua there.
Yeah. He needs to make some freaking plays. That's what he needs to do. He's getting those targets. Break a big freaking play, Waddle. Come on. Show us that electricity. I talk about it every freaking week. He's more efficient.
7 weeks.
Year,
7 weeks. Week. Give him a chance.
Dave.
Maybe I need a Snickers bar to cheer up my grumpiness.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Holy cow. You just don't like Waddle.
I actually just officially moved him over Brandon Ayuk in rankings, which is a big deal for me. So, yeah.
Did you move him above Ayuk, or did you move Ayuk below him?
Let's not get into the
like which direction did you go? Because I'm pretty sure you moved Ayuk below him.
It doesn't even matter what Ayuk does on the field. He's like 1 for 1, 2 for 2,
yeah.
6 for 7, always in the doghouse. Yeah. Debo's a little banged up this week. It's a great matchup. Maybe we see a little bit of Ayuk this week. I feel you, Dave. I feel you. It's so conflicting to try to rank Brandon Ayuk today because I was tossing around some trade scenarios in my head and kind of doing the same thing, you know, and you're just like, man, what am I supposed to do here with this situation? So, yeah.
I'm still trying to go get him. This is the time to do it. If you do not have Brandon Ayuk and you believed in him, now's the time to try to do something.
I agree.
And not even just in one for one, not even just in a 1 for 1, because sometimes those deals like that puts the person who liked Ayuk as well, that puts their signal up. Maybe you're going to have to do him in a part of a bigger deal and get that discount that way. But that's kind of how I'm trying to approach Ayuk.
I like that. I mean, the thing is, too, and it starts to bug you, is you start to look at all these players now when they leave Shanahan. And Shanahan's offense isn't like an Adam Gase offense. Like, at least he wins. But you start to see, like, Pettis do okay when he gets some opportunities. Even Kenyon Bourne is doing okay with his opportunities. And you get in that Shanahan doghouse, and it's absolutely ridiculous for my fantasy teams.
1.75 tight end tight end premium. Andrews and Zeke on one side. Kelce, Aaron Jones, and Ayuk on the other.
Mark Andrews? Who's Andrews?
I'm sorry. I actually did it a little wrong. Yes, Mark Andrews, Zeke, and Ayuk. Mark Andrews, Zeke, and Ayuk, or Kelce and Aaron Jones.
I'll probably take that Zeke side.
Same.
It's a tough one, man. Kelce has a ton of value in points, too, but I like kind of getting a little younger at tight end there. You have Ayuk to gain value, and you can always prosper off that when he gains a little more value. And Zeke and Aaron Jones, I mean, I'd rather have Zeke by a little bit than Aaron Jones, but they're pretty damn close.
Yeah, it's a trade I made 2 weeks ago that I really didn't feel great about, and then since then Zeke has picked it up quite a bit and felt better about it.
Yeah,
so yeah, you guys picked the side I went with, but Ayuk low there.
Yeah, I like getting him. Dave, that's the kids. Those kids are talking to you.
So I'm going to switch it up here. I could obviously go to a favorite of mine and go with Skittles for some Rondale Moore, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to talk about a favorite because I'm taking a little break from Rondale Moore. I don't want to get too frustrated with the Arizona offense. And I want to go to a little switch it up now. It's been a couple weeks since Halloween, let's say. Let's go back to when you were a kid. A couple weeks since Halloween and your trick-or-treat bag's starting to get a little light. You pick through all the good stuff. Only the stuff you really don't like are left. And you're kind of – but you really want that candy fix. And then you discover – that one Starburst left. And that's like, you get excited for it. You're like, that freaking star. And it's almost worth more than all some of your favorite candies in the beginning, because that's just, you know, over replacement over these crappy candies that are left. And that is Khalil Herbert, who has been a diamond in the rough.
Nice.
For who has come through for the last couple weeks and put up some big freaking weeks. I think he's been the top four the last couple, 2 or 3 weeks for a rookie feat for the rookies.
Yeah.
And he's doing it in not only in volume, like a rushing volume, but he's also getting the targets, unlike Elijah Mitchell. And to me, what also this shows is that, is David Montgomery as good as we think it is? Or is it just the system? Like, is Khalil Herbert, like, is that what it's showing us? Or they could be just be good, both be good, but at least gives me doubt. Like, hey, what is stopping from Khalil Herbert from having a role when David Montgomery comes back? Because this is real. Like what we're seeing here.
Yeah.
And those are real stats. Absolutely.
Herbert had that 100 yards versus Tampa Bay, the number one rush defense in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Which, just for a little bit of context.
David Montgomery's really good, though. I don't think David Montgomery's like Jonathan Taylor or Swift or even J.K. Dobbins that we haven't been able to see yet. But I do think David Montgomery's really good. He's not like some of those other guys, but I think he's good. But, man, he might end up losing some touches to Herbert with all of that said. And then no matter how good he is, I mean, Herbert's playing really good. So don't hate that at all.
What happens when Tariq Cohen comes back, too? Like, that's just interesting.
What this flavor Starburst was it?
Ooh, good question.
I think it'd have to be yellow, just because...
I like yellow.
See, for me, it's my least favorite, but it allows it to slip through the cracks, and then I value it more once I get to it after all these other crappy candies to choose from.
Yeah, it's between like that and Mounds, you're like, hell no.
I like yellow.
Yeah, yeah. Gets me excited. Way better than like an apple Skittle or something like that, too. My gosh. These kids are worse than mine. So, Feverish, I didn't want to change my candy mid-show. I also have a Snickers bar here, but I took a little bit different direction. Like, this Snickers bar is Betty Whiting the crap out of us. This Snickers bar is absolutely laughable. Like, it gives me the Snickers. And that is Trey Sermon. And he is going to need to do a lot to completely satisfy me at this point. Trey Sermon, a little bit laughable. I don't know what's going on with that offense, man. I already said some stuff about Shanahan, but I think there's a real doghouse that you can get in there. We might not ever find out if Trey Sermon was good or not.
Kyle Shanahan's getting the doghouse in San Francisco at this point if he keeps it up. I mean, he really should be. And maybe
he should both not be allowed to draft.
That's going to be
just like, oh, yeah, just use our picks and don't use the players. Cool. Let's keep doing this. Yeah.
Two Snickers reference, and maybe there's a nut allergen for both these situations for me. I'm not a big Trey Sermon guy. Not a Jalen Watt. Maybe I have a nut allergen. I don't know.
You might.
Good call on the Snickers, though, tonight, gentlemen.
They're pretty good, too. I like Snickers bars a lot.
I was pretty sure we weren't getting through the show without a Snickers bar.
Feverish, you had a third candy ready to go, didn't you?
I did. Bonus candy, if you will.
Wait.
A bonus candy.
I'm taking all of these kids' as candy.
So again, I'm going with the candy slogan. Sometimes you feel like a nut, and sometimes you don't. Almond Joy. Kadarius Toney, rookie number 16 on the season, after receiving more than 3 targets just twice all season when he went nuts weeks 5 versus the Cowboys, exploding for 10 catches on 13 targets for 189 yards. In the same game, he kind of lost his marbles and went a little nuts, trying to punch one of the Dallas Cowboys with his fist on a helmet. I'll never understand that in a million years. I still do not understand why players punch people with helmets on. He also accidentally headbutted a assistant coach on the sideline through his frustration. So this is, I think it's just kind of perfect, because sometimes Kadarius Toney feels like a nut and sometimes he don't.
And honestly, like, who buys that for kids to put in their trick or treat bag anyway?
Like, no player really evaluation response. That? It was just
they
all
don't
about
even
the candy.
Want it. Like, when did that even seem like a good idea?
Almond Joy? Yeah, that's
or
not a
Kadarius
good candy.
Toney. It's perfect.
I like Kadarius.
You should have known I was going to love that one. Yeah. 2 weeks in the top 12 out of 7. Kadarius Toney, maybe one of you will pick him this week. Maybe.
Way to foreshadow.
I promise you, if I don't have to, I won't pick him.
Yeah, well, you're picking last.
Maybe if he made it to my second last pick, I might might be forced to a little bit there. So, scared off of.
Oh, which player are we scared off of? I'll do mine first because you guys have mentioned this player 3 times in the show and I've stayed like quiet about him. We brought him up during Zach Wilson. You asked me point blank, are you afraid about Elijah Moore? Before we get into are you afraid section.
So it's Elijah Moore?
Elijah Moore, I'm afraid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid of Elijah Moore.
What we're talking about. Did you know who he's talking about, Dave? Yeah,
yes,
he said
he's nodding yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't find the mute button. Yeah.
Yes. So he's making me nervous. He's making me scared. As all the listeners know, I invested heavily in Elijah Moore. Maybe that's why I'm a little more scared. All these rookie quarterbacks, by the way, are struggling. Mac Jones, who everyone thinks is having a very successful season, who is, has 9 touchdowns and 6 interceptions in 7 games. That's the cream of the crop.
Completion percentage.
Yeah, I got you. Trevor Lawrence, 7 touchdowns and 8 interceptions in 7 games. Zach Wilson, 4 touchdowns and 9 interceptions in 7 games. It just keeps getting worse, right? Zach Wilson is now out for 2 to 4 weeks. So we might have, well, I don't know, Joe Flacco, which we talked about at the top of the show. I don't know. I get very concerned. I know Dave will bring up to me that how important year one and year two is for a rookie wide receiver. I just a little concerned that he's been on this field for a majority of this time and hasn't really shown us much. He had an 8.7 point game in week two. He was hurt for 1 game, I think, versus the Titans. He didn't play at all. But other than that, he's been kind of non-existent. And he, of course, I knew to play him this week because I knew when Swags picked him in rookie predictions, he was going to do something. And lo and behold, he doesn't receive the touchdown, but he sure to hell ran it in. And it's one of those things. I mean, he was targeted 6 times in that game. He was targeted 6 times in week 3, 8 times the week before. He's out there. He's just not really. And I think it's tied to the quarterback, and I think it's tied to this offense, and neither of them are leaving anytime soon. So it's a little concerning. It's a little scary, especially considering this is not a smarty candy, right? This didn't come cheap. Elijah Moore, for most people, was a first round. It depends on, you know, when you were drafting, because he got hot later. It wasn't right after the draft. He was quite that hot. And it depends on super flex or not. But he was an expensive player. He certainly got more expensive as the hype was rolling. So he's scaring me a little bit. I'm getting a little nervous about Elijah Moore.
So, Finero, for you, would it be Brandon Ayuk or Elijah Moore?
Elijah Moore.
Okay. So you still like him a decent amount. I mean,
yeah, Brandon Ayuk scares me quite a bit.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, quite a bit.
You guys are going to give me nightmares talking about all these scary players.
Nice. Very nice, Dave. Very nice. Very nice.
Oh, man.
That was a veteran. That was a veteran.
Rookie fever trivia interrupting the players that scare us. Okay.
Is this another one that neither of us are going
to
get?
You may get this one if you want to. These, among the rookie wide receivers, which 2 rookies are tied with the most fumbles among rookie wide receivers?
Fumbles. Why? Oof, I don't know.
Wow, that's not something I track.
It's not easy to come up with these questions every week, and I don't want you to just like be able to study for them or have them can be the completely the same. So you can expect probably at least 6 more weeks of this.
Look at all this time you're giving Dave to check out.
No, my eyes are dead forward. Dead forward.
I saw them moving left and right. That's all I'm saying. I saw them moving. They're moving.
He was thinking.
This is how I have to look if I'm going to get over this.
Oh, come back over?
Oh, shit.
No, I would say Devonta Smith is one of them.
He is not.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I'm going to go, and that's not bad. Where I was going to go is with just volume, right? And I'm going to do my other one. So Smith has a lot of volume, a lot of targets. And Waddle's the other one. So just with all that volume and all that usage, I'm going to say Waddle.
Waddle is one of them.
Yes.
So you're talking about fumbles and not fumbles lost?
Yeah, fumbles.
Yeah. So, I don't track fumbles. Yeah, that's one thing. Yeah, you got me there.
It is.
I got those fumbles, but not fumbles lost.
It is Jalen Waddle and Rondale Moore.
Ah.
And they both only have two. So it's not like
that's
a lot.
That's a dirty question.
And they haven't lost either one.
Dirty question.
And one of them has 33 more fantasy football points than the other.
Wow. That's a low blow. Oh, you had that one ready, didn't you?
Well, it's for the players that scare you.
Oh, right. Who's up?
It's Dave.
The players that scare me. Well, I guess this one, it would be Trey Sermon was mine. I know Swags talked about him as needing, it was kind of laughable.
He's on my list.
It's fine. Yeah, I like it.
I'm frightened. Like, I don't think you could get it. Could you even get a third round? The most you get is a third round pick for him now. And he was going late first, early second in Superflex. And I don't think you'd get a third round. You'd have to people hold out your hand for a third round pick.
Yeah.
I happily do not own Trey Sermon anywhere. Never bought into him. You listened to the show. You knew I wasn't a big fan. And super happy that I don't own Trey Sermon. He played just special teams last week. Healthy scratch twice this year, including week 6, which is just 2 weeks ago. The team doesn't trust him. They really don't. And they kind of like Mitchell.
An injury at this point.
Mitchell's delivering. I don't see any reason that Trey Sermon is going to see much playing time. There's just going to be more players brought in. Yeah.
He's still the same. He's a hold for me unless like you can find a way to throw him into a trade that seems just kind of right for both sides. He's a hold for me because I'd rather have that stash than a third at this point just to see what happens if there is a injury or
think about how many running backs on San Francisco have like short-term relevance. You know, why not Trey Sermon? I mean, it happens like throughout the year. There's like four guys throughout the year that have RB1 weeks, and that's when you unload Sermon.
Jeff Wilson's coming back soon, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yep. Lots of problems for Trey. But to Swags' point, the value's so low right now, especially probably for what you got him originally, that you have to hold him unless it's a throw-in. And if you hold him and you wait for that 2 or 3 weeks where he's the only guy left, and because he had a week, I think, right? He had a week. Where he had decent numbers. I think it was probably the week that
he had his first carry and fumbled.
Yeah. That was the week where he got concussed on that play. But I think the very next week he played made the and top Elijah 12 Mitchell didn't.
Two times week, 1 week 3 and 1 week 4.
Yeah, I think it's week 4 where he had okay numbers and he had a majority of the carry, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely some needles or razor blades in that candy.
Ooh, nasty.
Yeah. I hear you. That was like an 80s joke. Well, they might still do that. I don't know. Did that really happen? Or did people just do that to scare the crap out of us?
I think they cover it in the news every single year. It's covered in the news.
Scary. Scary. My player, my rookie that I am scared of, somebody that we haven't brought up a while on the show, Travis Etienne. Obviously, due to injury is the reason we haven't talked about him much this year on Rookie Fever. James Robinson is absolutely making a case for himself. Two seasons in a row of what James Robinson has done at minimum means Travis Etienne has to beat him out in camp next year. It's not just as easy as like the draft capital. This guy has to come back from injury and beat somebody out that has shown that he can play that position in the NFL two seasons in a row now. So I am legitimately scared for Travis Etienne and wouldn't mind trying to find an out before he starts to come back from injury. I don't know what that is, but find some teams that feel like they're out of contention and do a little patching here and there and try to move on from Travis Etienne.
I mean, I'm not sure if I think that like he has to go take James Robinson's job or anything, or like it's definitely gonna be a split backfield. He's not gonna be like, oh, just handed his lunch like Najee Harris has been. Definitely not gonna happen for Travis Etienne. But I think the thing that is we haven't mentioned yet that's really scary is that I don't think the coach that drafted him is probably not gonna be there next year.
I agree.
Or that's what's good. So then a rookie who the guy has no attachment to comes in. That's another reason to be a little scared on him. But
I think just to sprinkle in a little less fear is the pass catching thing. I think is going to make him relevant in some regard. Like it might not be where you drafted him. It might not be your expectations. And to Swag's point, it might be slow. But I do think because he does seem to be a pretty excellent pass catcher that he's going to have a role, and that role could grow because he's just on the field, where, you know, some of these other guys that we're looking at just aren't even getting an opportunity. I feel like that pass catching ability will give him the opportunity. I know Robinson catches the ball too, but I think the league is adapting to two backs. I mean, that's kind of the system now. It's rare to have a Henry be your only guy. So I think the plan was to use both of them, and I think he's going to have to earn a role, as opposed to maybe he would have been given a little bit more of a role if he hadn't gotten hurt. But just to sprinkle a little less fear onto it, I think because of the pass catching, I think he does get on the field and doesn't have to stand in line too long to play a role, and then maybe, you know, make that role bigger through earning it.
We'll have to see, man. I mean, we said similar things about Laviska Shenault last year too. I don't know, man. Yeah, I hear you though, and I get what you're saying, but I'm more scared than not. Like, and I don't know. I could just see this one completely going down the shitter for people, like slowly just like crapping away.
Rashad Penny-esque, possibly.
Penny, Dixon, like those guys that you just kind of like had around a little bit too much, held on to, and just kind of keep depreciating before they ever do a damn thing for you.
I hear the voices, but I'm not there. I'm kind of more with Fanero, but I hear the voices.
So, but I don't want this, but there's still an opportunity to get something for hope, whether it happens or not. And I don't think that out is that crazy to where it still couldn't help your team, even if he does okay. But then the worst case, you've moved on before everybody else did, sure. I guess. That's where I'm at. I sent Travis Etienne and a 2023 first to the non-contending Derrick Henry team. And we're going to try to go back and forth a little bit, but we'll see if we get something done. But I sent that out to try to get Henry on a third or fourth seed team I have in a 16-team league.
Nice.
So, you know, nothing crazy, Dave. I'm not talking about just like getting nothing back or.
Oh, yeah. No, I hear you. I was actually just thinking about James Robinson and like this offseason again. I can just see the whole value dropping out again. Not about perceived value.
Sure.
Dropping out again. That. Oh, Travis Etienne's coming back, and then this whole thing again coming over where. So I'm just, this offseason's going to be interesting. It always is, but that's just a interesting storyline I'll look for. I'm intrigued to see how it'll go down.
Well, to your point, Dave, I mean, a lot of the people that just don't want to believe in James Robinson are just waiting for something, right? So he could have a bad 3-game stretch at the end of the season. He could get injured and miss some time. They need one tiny little sliver of an excuse to put him right back down where they want him to be. They don't want him to be where he is right now because they weren't truthers to begin with.
I told you so.
You listen to Rookie Fever.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So we got all of our scared players.
We did. I think it's ready for that top 12.
Fly through it. Stop me if you need to. One more Rookie Fever trivia before we cut into that. This rookie running back is 8th in receptions among rookie running backs. Rookie running backs. 8th in receptions, 5th in attempts, 5th in yards. That's all I'm giving you. I'm not going to tell you the answers until you guys guess, because
Javonte Williams.
He's a starburst.
Javonte Williams.
Oh, starburst.
It is Herbert. You're right.
Starburst.
But that's pretty good, man. 5th in attempts, he has 58. 5th in yards, 279. He's really only started a couple games at this caliber. So to be doing this like with just those couple games, it's pretty exciting to see. So that's why it kind of stood out to me a little bit. Into the top 12, Rookie Fever, Halloween edition. Rashad Bateman, wide receiver, 35, 11 points, 3 receptions, 6 targets, 80 yards.
I'm going to stop you right here.
Let's go.
So what I'm going to say, though, is less about Bateman. So Dave will be the perfect compliment for each other. So I didn't see this game. So, and I encourage everybody that listens to Rookie Fever or any podcast to just do this a little bit. Like if you're seeing a stat line or a box score and you're judging a player by that, it's just not enough. You do need to watch them. So he was targeted 6 times, right? So I saw 3 passes that he did not catch, and I saw the 3 that he did. And the big thing that screamed to me was soft hands. And what I just want to tell people is just Google the player. Like, go into YouTube, just type in Rashad Bateman week 7 highlights and watch the 6 targets. And do that for any player that you're interested in, because I know you all watch Red Zone or you watch your favorite team. We're not all watching every single game. It's impossible. So just do yourself a favor and just do that, especially like if you're playing Dynasty and you're looking at rookies and you're looking at evaluations, because the 80 yards popped for me. But the other thing that popped was the 3 for 6. And the other thing that popped was the 6 targets 2 weeks in a row. I just wanted to see, what does this guy look like? And I really, really, like when the ball came into his hands, it was like so, like it looks like this guy's a built wide receiver. Like I really, and I don't think you see that by looking at 3 for 6. Like I assumed it was, oh, he must have had one big catch or broken coverage or something like that. No, he showed you everything on those 3 catches. So just do yourself a favor. Look at the tape. All right, Dave, go for it.
Watch the tape.
I was just going to say that his opportunity actually went down this week. Yeah, he still had the 6 targets, but his target share went down from 22% to 15% rounded up or something like that. So less opportunity, but his efficiency went up. And for rookie wide receivers, we love efficiency. And to see that efficiency jump for Rashad Bateman is exciting. So we've seen a couple of weeks. We've seen a couple of different things to like here. Now Sammy Watkins is still out, but that being said, a couple of nice things to, nothing like, you know, league winning or anything like that, but just something, some positive check marks and on his side of the ledger.
All right. I like it. Number 11, Devonta Smith, wide receiver, 34, 11.1 points, 5 receptions, 9 targets, 61 yards. Number 10.
Only saw 5% snap rate out of the slot. He has not been a slot receiver this season. So much for the haters who thought he was going to be a gadgety slot player in the NFL. Not happening. 29% target share, matches highs of the season. Just had a sprinkle. I have a couple of sprinkles in today for the top 12. And that was just a little thing that for Devonta Smith that stood out to me. Only 5% of the slot.
I just have 4 words. Hurts is the problem.
Number 10, Elijah Moore, wide receiver, 31, 12.45 points, 1 carry for 19 yards, a touchdown on the ground, 1 reception on 6 targets for 13 yards. Talked a lot about Elijah Moore, that quarterback situation, maybe Flacco helps him out a little bit. Number 9, Chuba Hubbard, running back, 28, 12.6 points, 12 attempts, 28 yards, 4 receptions, 5 targets, 28 yards. Number 8, Kenneth Gainwell, maybe sees some more time with Miles Sanders out. Obviously, running back, 21, 15.35 points, 5 attempts, 20 yards, 4 receptions, 8 targets, 41 yards, and a touchdown. Kenneth Gainwell. Number 7, Jalen Waddle, wide receiver, 14, 17.3 points, 7 receptions, 8 targets, 83 yards. Not enough for Dave.
Dude, 4 receptions and 3 yards separate Rashad Bateman at wide receiver 35 and Jalen Waddle at wide receiver 14. 4 receptions and 3 yards. That's a chasm.
Yeah.
Wide receiver 14 and wide receiver 35. 4 receptions and 3 yards separate them.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. If there's something else in that point scale besides just...
Yeah, 4 points. I mean, that's... PPR, yeah,
that's only 4 points.
4 total points is a pretty big jump.
35 to 12.
Number 6, a lot of people were calling for it. We finally got it. Javonte Williams, running back, 13, 18.2 points, only 4 attempts for 20 yards, but he had 6 receptions on 7 targets for another 32 yards and a touchdown. That is good to see.
Another promising sign for development. So we've talked a lot of different things about what he's been doing with a veteran presence. Like, there's been a lot of positive things. He's breaking tackles. He's creating his opportunities. Tons of things to like about Javonte Williams so far this season. Put another one in his cap that when Denver cannot get the ball moving. So when your game script goes against the running back, he goes and produces in a different way for getting 7 targets. That is a major checkbox for a running back. To the running game is snuffed out, and I pronounce that weird, but and he goes against reception. That's huge. I there's a lot of positive signs, and that was a decent PPR points this week. But it doesn't scream out to you because he didn't have a ton of yards. He did get the touchdown, but man, it's just starting to just, I love the positive momentum for Javonte Williams.
Well, Dave, you just said a lot about Michael Carter then at running back 12 with 15 points, 11 attempts, 37 yards, but he had one more reception, actually two more receptions on two more targets. So eight receptions, nine targets.
He was running Michael around. Carter. He was running around in his doing his best Gabriel Davis costume impression, going, what was it, 8 for 9 on this one.
So he was dressed up for the Halloween special? Dressed up as
Gabriel Davis, yes.
or Chris Evans.
Yeah. Still selling Michael Carter, Panero, or is he the answer there?
I don't like the answer being Michael Carter, no.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you.
A lot of buzz for Javonta Williams. A ton of buzz. So that's like, all I can do on Twitter is to see Javonta Williams talk. That's all I can see. People,
Dave, how the hell did you just go back to Javonta Williams?
He wanted to go back.
I'm talking about because of Michael Carter, who did some freaking, some good stuff.
I see what you're doing.
Gotcha.
Like, the buzz isn't there.
Nobody's for Michael Carter. Talking about Michael Carter.
He's so vanilla.
No big plays. No, zero big runs so far for Michael Carter. Really just been 3 yards in a cloud of dust for him. But the receptions are promising. That Jets offensive line has not been good. That offense has not been good. Still, I'll take 19 points. I'll take 19 fantasy points.
Yeah.
He's an RB1.
Trade him away to a team that needs a running back. Number four, the smarties of the show, Elijah Mitchell, running back 7, 22.2 points, 18 attempts, 107 yards, and a touchdown. Number three, talked about him a lot as well, Khalil Herbert. Running back 4, 25.8 points, 18 attempts, 100 yards, 5 receptions, 5 targets, 33 yards. Number 2, Sour Patch Kids, Kyle Pitts, tight end 1, 25.8 points, 7 receptions, 8 targets, 163 yards.
One more thing about Javonta Williams. No,
Oh, you had me, man. You had me.
You are definitely getting the mounds, Dan.
You definitely had me.
Number one, Jamar Chase, wide receiver 2, 40.1 points. Mind you, this is a tight end premium league we are speaking of. So you have Kyle Pitts at tight end 1, Jamar Chase at wide receiver 2, with 15 more points on 8 receptions, 10 targets, 201 yards, and a touchdown for Jamar Chase on 8 receptions. Holy cow. Holy cow.
Happy Halloween.
That's for Dave. I think Dave probably had him. What'd you have him at, like wide receiver 5 or 6?
To start the season in Dynasty, he's my wide receiver 5. Yeah.
I think you were one of the first people I heard put him quite that high at that time.
I agree.
So that's pretty awesome. That's way better than you did on your week 7 predictions, Dave.
Hey, I'm happy with it. Happy. Only one less than one more, like one worse than Finero. I'm keeping my lead. That's all I need.
Thank you. I'm so glad you mentioned that because last week we got off the show and really quickly, like Finero mentions, like I wish we kind of talked a little bit about Demetric Felton and how we were all so excited to get him into the top 12, but really he might not do that much to get there. And he ended up being rookie 13 on the week. So he almost squeezed in, but I mean, he had like 6.9 points or something like that. And that's kind of really like our expectations were probably a little closer to 8 to 10, 12 points, but it was just kind of funny. Like we get all excited during this game. Because we're digging so deep to find points to just, we're all
pissed when you picked Felton. And then right after the show, we're like, who really gives a shit? Like Felton's going to have like he's going to almost do nothing. And the pickings are so tiny. We're like, oh, you picked Felton. We're all mad. Yeah. It's like right after the show, I'm like, we don't even think Felton's going to do that much. It was like the only thing to pick. I mean, look at these numbers.
Yeah.
And Ernest Johnson destroys.
So Dave had Tommy Tremble. They got him -4.
It's not
Diami Brown, -13. You guys were so lucky with your Trey Sermon and Diami Brown because I've seen zeros get us as much as like -20 on some weeks. But you guys, there were so few rookies that had points this week for some reason with all those bye weeks that you guys only got -13 on Brown and then Feverish you with Trey Sermon. And then Feverish's other guy was Anthony Schwartz, which got it minus 13 for a total of minus 16. And then I had Elijah Moore, who we mentioned already, and got me plus 3, and then Felton with the minus 1 for to get me a positive 2. And the last pick this week, Dave drew the number 1 pick. He's actually excited about it. Dave, what do you got?
I'm going Kadarius Toney. He practiced this week. There's no official injury report until tomorrow for the Giants, so a little bit of a risk here. But yeah, I'll take a chance to swing for the fences here. And if he doesn't play, what else is going to, you know, what can I say? I'm back up in 3, so I can hedge with a safer pick with my next pick.
So we record on Wednesdays, everybody, and yes, Kadarius Toney kind of practiced today. It was definitely limited, but what a matchup versus Kansas City. If he gets an opportunity to play, he's definitely going to smash these other choices. But I'm going to go with opportunity here, a guy I know is going to be on the field, a guy that's going to have to step up, and a guy we haven't talked about much. So, hey, why not? There's no Devonta Adams. There's no Alan Lazard. Both have the COVID. I'm going to go Amari Rodgers on this one and hope that he just steps up. It's Thursday night football. So, and it's a really tough matchup against Arizona. So it's not a great comfy position, but I'm going to go ahead and just take a chance here. I'm going to get his name talked about, get your reactions to Amari Rodgers, what you guys think is going to happen, but that's going to be my pick.
I personally like it a lot. It's a decent matchup for a wide receiver, kind of middle of the pack. I probably would have taken him at some point here if he was here for me. I mean, there's nobody playing, you know, and with this game, like, yeah, I'm digging it.
If it's now, it's now or never, it feels like yeah, hey. Right.
I mean, I'm not going to compare the two, but I mean, Kadarius got his opportunities through a bunch of injuries, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, sometimes with a talented player like Devonta Adams, you're just not going to find your way onto the field. And when he's off by some weird circumstance like this, I mean, you know, we're talking about the rookie top 12. Freaking Felton almost made it.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to dress up like Devonta Adams, but he might do a decent James Jones impersonation.
There you go.
Something like that, maybe. So for me, I'm not going to let you guys stop me this week. I'm going with Terrace Marshall. I love the matchup. Hope he plays. If he does, I feel like he's guaranteeing me a top 12 spot this week.
Wow, you really guys are making me... There's 3 guys I would have had as my number 2 option. Like, I would have been happy with my number 2 option. Oh, man, it's tough. I'm going to go with Fudgesicles. I'll go just because I don't know. This is tough. I'll go with... I really just want to pick them all. Like, I'm not excited about all. No.
You get Lemon.
I'm going to go with Pat Freiermuth. I'm going to take the tight end premium. Damn you. Come back from a bye week.
Yeah.
We'll go Pat Freiermuth.
That was my pick. I will quickly follow up with Amon-Ra St. Brown versus Philadelphia. I think the opportunities are there. I just he hasn't taken advantage of them per se, but Philadelphia is a nice opportunity for him as well. And so Amon-Ra St. Brown versus Philly.
I was thinking about him.
I definitely feel a little bit sniped here. I was going to take Amon-Ra for sure because I knew you wouldn't.
Well, you were wrong.
I know. So, you know what? I'm going to take Tommy Tremble. He didn't do too bad comparative to our rookies last week compared to your lineups. I'm not saying to start him much like Felton last week, but
right.
he only lost minus 4 points for Dave last week. So yeah. I'm hoping that maybe he squeezes in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or stays even in that same area, I'd almost be happy with what's left for me. I thought about Anthony Schwartz. I had Nico Collins even on my list.
He's big for me this week. I was thinking big Nico Collins. I like his opportunity this week.
Yeah. I don't mind it, man, but I don't think it's the best matchup for a wide receiver either.
Yeah, it's a rough one. L.A.?
Packers, right?
I think Nico's playing L.A. Packers are playing Arizona.
So, but yeah, I'm going to stick with Sweeney. I'll stick my guns this week. You guys helped me out too much last week. So, and then I won. Then I freaking won. Happy Halloween. find a happy Halloween or something. Some music. We didn't use the music. You know what that is?
What's that?
That's Final Thoughts.
Dave, you're up.
No, I am.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Swags with it. Final Thoughts?
Yeah, I have some.
Give it to me.
Do you guys want to tell them who you are after my final thoughts?
After.
All right. These are my thoughts. Like, real talk, and I don't want to get too serious here, but I'm absolutely going to get a little bit serious. Like, I don't know. So, like, sometimes, like, we come on Rookie Fever. We all have our fun time. Like, we talk before and after our shows often. It's getting more and more. We try to go as quick as we can. But we have some sometimes serious talks. Like, there's sometimes one of us isn't really here. Maybe it's because of something that's affected in us in our lives. We're just kind of not mentally there. We usually know which one of us isn't here at some point within the show, just from the conversations we have at the beginning. There was a few weeks back, maybe within the last couple months, where our conversation before our show was so dark. And the darkness was only because of the way our weeks had been and just what life had thrown at us and how we were all trying to deal with separate issues in our lives that had really changed, we'll just say, the chemicals in our brains, to say the least. You guys didn't know that, the listeners, and that is because I am absolutely working with two pros here that bring it week in, week out. We turn on that mic and we try our best to do the show and just kind of bring it every time, man. And I can tell you, at the end of the show, if I'm the one that was having that bad day, I always feel better. And I think I can speak for Dave and Feverish as well. It doesn't take our problems away, but it's such a nice break that even you, the listeners, allow us to enjoy with each other. And I just think it's important to know sometimes that everything's not okay. And these guys have helped me become better at this and just kind of appreciate what they do and they bring week in, week out. We are here every night together, whether we have a good day or every week, every Wednesday, whether we have a good day or a bad day, we're here and we sometimes talk about some of those problems. Today wasn't one of those days, by the way, not at all. Like, none of us had expressed it. I think we're all sometimes worn out, but I appreciate you guys a ton. And I think everybody should know sometimes that we hit it raw, like on days where we're just like, man, I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. Within the last couple months, we had that show and we were even at that moment where we're like, how in the hell are we going to do this now? Like, should we even do a show? And we were like, absolutely. And we hit that intro music and we hit it hard. And I bet you nobody can tell us which show that was. And I absolutely appreciate you guys. And I mean it when I say you make me better at this.
Mom, I mean, I don't even know how to respond to that. Other than to say, I totally agree with you. We're accountable to each other each and every week. We respect the hell out of each other. We respect the hell out of this show and the integrity of this show. And that's why we you know, pick our heads up and we do it. Life is always going to throw curveballs at you. And you have to just pick your head up and keep moving forward. And it has been therapy sometimes. You're right. Some of these nights have felt very much like therapy, to be around two close friends to talk about fantasy football. I think that's why we all play, you know, is for that friendship, that community. And you know, I think surrounding yourselves around like-minded people and sharing ideas is what this is all about.
Swags, you said it, and Finero too. You guys have really hit the nail on the head with just how we were saying. I just want to leave with saying that, you know, the fantasy football season is a grind for me. I put in a lot of hours outside of, like, just doing just mundane kind of stuff. But whenever, and sometimes like, oh, I got rookie fever. I'm usually pretty pumped up for it. I'm excited for it. But sometimes even I'm like, all right, get through rookie fever the week, you know, and then it's kind of like, I can then have a couple days off, take a breath. Well, doesn't matter how many times we're done recording, I'm always disappointed that we're done recording because I'm having a good time. And it really just changed my day usually after Rookie Fever because I have a great time talking to you guys. So I'm really, you know, still wicked excited. And sometimes I kind of just chuckle myself. I'm like, I'm still wicked excited that you guys asked me to be part of the show because I really enjoyed being part of Rookie Fever.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am at Swagzilla0G, the guy making up for the week. Amon Ra St. Brown, earlier from at Artbark TV. He is at FF underscore Spaceman. I don't know. You had a week, Amon Ra St. Brown, never too, dude.
There we go.
We are out. When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. Oh, defeat. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 style? He's never done this to before. And run, I told you anyone. Size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, let's just break out a full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Now we get a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Now you got 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 the fever.